Hello, everyone, and very happy Sunday evening. It is very good to see you all here. Quite a few people here this evening. Must not be much happening elsewhere. Seems like we have a lot of people here. Of course, we have a wonderful satsang coming up in 30 minutes, so maybe that is why some of you are here. I'm going to start by just playing a very brief song because I only have half an hour because of the satsang. But I still like to play a song just as kind of the opening prayer. So I've selected a very brief song by Julie True. It is called Love of God. That song had a very abrupt start and end, so, but it was a sweet, sweet song in between the abrupt start and the abrupt end. Tonight I am beginning step 4 in the 7 Steps to Awakening. And it's funny because I have been teaching the 7 Steps to Awakening for about 5 years. I started in 2012. And we're just now getting to step 4, but that is what we are doing tonight. So let me read step 4 to you from the 7 Steps to Awakening. The purpose of step 4 is to increase your desire for liberation. To make your desire for liberation more intense than the energy of a trillion stars. Make your desire for liberation more intense than the energy of a trillion stars. Make your desire for liberation so intense that your entire life is dedicated to awakening. The desire for liberation is the desire to bring the imposter self to its final end. The desire to remain eternally as the true self, that is, infinite, eternal, awareness, love, bliss, free of all types of suffering. The desire to awaken from the human dream. The desire to live eternally in the direct experience of the absolute self that has never known falsehood, suffering, or illusion, and that has never changed in all eternity. The desire to be forever free from the false and live eternally in the true. So that's the opening page to step four. It lays out the objective of step four, and this is what the quotes in step four point to. Now, in case you don't know, the Seven Steps to Awakening is an anthology of quotes put together by Michael Langford. And what I just now read, the introduction to step four, that is something that Michael Langford has written. And if you're familiar with his books, The Means to Eternal Bliss, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, or The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, then you know chapter four and chapter five are all about the desire for liberation. And let me just review a little bit with you from chapter four. Awakening, the extremely intense desire for liberation, is the most important first step that can be taken towards being liberated now in this lifetime. Of all the factors that determine if you will or will not be free, the intensity or lack of intensity of your desire for liberation is the most essential factor. Some teachings are essential, powerful keys. The knowledge that increasing your desire for liberation is the most effective first step you can take is an essential, powerful key. All obstacles that appear in your journey to freedom are caused by too little desire for freedom. Even a little increase in your desire for freedom is helpful. As your desire for freedom grows in intensity, the ego creates fewer obstacles. When your desire for freedom becomes very intense, your desire for freedom demands that you take no detours. When your desire for freedom becomes extremely intense, for the first time you can see what is essential for freedom and what is not essential. When your desire for freedom is weak, the ego does not allow you to see its preservation strategies. When the desire for freedom is stronger, you can begin to see the ego's preservation strategies. When the desire for freedom becomes even stronger, the desire for freedom itself will bring you everything you need to succeed in your quest for liberation, including the answer to all your questions, the direct path teachings, the solution to all obstacles, the motivation to practice, etc. When the desire for freedom becomes even more intense, the ego will no longer create ego preservation strategies. The extremely intense desire for the direct experience of the absolute truth will guide you to your inner teacher. The extremely intense desire for truth will guide you to the practice that gives you the direct experience of eternal life. Without an increase in your desire for freedom, all of your attempts at awakening will fail to produce the eternal experience. Without an increase in your desire for freedom, the ego will distort all of your spiritual studies, including what you read in this book. Without an increase in your desire for freedom, the ego will never allow you to see the truth. When your desire for liberation increases greatly, every moment of your life will be dedicated to your liberation. The wonderful thing is, that same extreme desire for liberation that brings you the knowledge of what is essential and what is not essential also allows you to see for the first time in your life. Before the extremely intense desire for freedom arises, you think you can see, but really you are blind. After the extremely intense desire for freedom arises, all is made clear and you have no doubts. After the extremely intense desire for freedom arises, for the first time, you can see. And I will stop there. That's just a little bit of a reminder about what is in chapter 4, about the importance. And that was chapter 4 of The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, regarding the importance of the desire for liberation. And again, the purpose of step 4, the purpose of the step 4 quotes, is to increase the desire for liberation. So with that said, I am going to begin sharing. I am going to begin with the first quote under step 4, which is number 786. This is from Sri Annamalai Swami. And for those of you who have been to India with me, you might remember, of course I know you remember where the Ramana Ashram is. And the very, right behind the Ramana Ashram, it may have seemed like the very back of the Ramana Ashram. You may not have even realized you left. Right behind the Ramana Ashram, there was a white samadhi or a white tomb that we visited briefly. And that's where my dog India hangs out, the dog that I go visit. And that white tomb belonged to Sri Annamalai Swami. So 786 is his quote. Here we go. The desire for enlightenment is necessary because without it, you will never take the necessary steps to realize the self. The desire for enlightenment is necessary because without it, you will never take the necessary steps to realize the self. A desire to walk to a particular place is necessary before you take any steps. If that desire is not present, you will never take the first step. When you realize the self, that desire will go. Yeah, that just makes perfect sense to me, right? Those of us who did go to India this last February, why did we go to India? Because we had the desire to go to India, right? Otherwise, we would have never taken the first step to go to India. And that's because the same is true for those who are going to go to Israel this time next year, right? It's because there's a desire to go on that trip. And those who do not have a desire will never take the first steps to go to Israel. Yesterday, we have a new Baskin Robbins in Pueblo West. And yesterday, Ron and I got in the car and drove to Pueblo West because of the desire for ice cream. Without the desire for ice cream, we would not have gotten in the car and driven to the new Baskin Robbins in Pueblo West, right? So, just like Annamalai Swami is saying, a desire to walk to a particular place, or drive, or fly. A desire to walk to a particular place is necessary before you take any steps. If that desire is not present, you will never take the first step, right? And so the desire for enlightenment is necessary. It's necessary. Because without it, you will never take the necessary steps to realize the self. Just like you don't go to India, Israel, or Baskin Robbins without the desire to go there. So, I'm going to read from my journal the contemplation of this quote. This was written on June 18th, 2015. And this is Regina Dawn Akers looking at herself on that date. The desire for truth is most definitely here. But what other desires are also present, diluting the flood of true desire. Is there the desire to be the most clear one? If I see that desire, I commit to killing it. It isn't important to me. Is there the desire to make others more clear? If I see that desire, I commit to wiping it out. The clarity of others is not my business. Is there the desire to feel safe? If I see that desire, I commit to relaxing into the fear of unsafe until unsafe is completely acceptable. Is there the desire to be perceived in a certain way? If I see that desire, I commit to forgetting it. It is merely a distraction. Is there a desire to be distracted from this life's purpose? Ah, maybe that is a desire I should really look at now. What value could that desire have? What lie does it whisper in my ear? So, as we saw in the quote, Annamalai Swami said that, the desire for freedom is necessary because without it, you won't even take the first steps. And where I went in my contemplation is, something that wasn't exactly said in the quote, but that's that it really needs to be the soul desire. Because as I said, if I have a desire to go for ice cream, I go for ice cream. If I have a desire to go to Israel, I go to Israel, right? So if I have a lot of other desires, well, then I might not be walking in a straight direction, right? If I only have a desire for freedom or liberation or truth realization, if that's the only desire I have, if that is my sole desire, then I'm going to walk in one straight line towards self-realization. But if I, want self-realization, but I also want to be perceived as the clear one or the wise one or the awake one, or I also want to help others become more clear, more awake, more free of suffering, or I want to feel safe. I want to know that I have enough money to keep me safe until I'm of old age, right? Then because I have so many desires, I'm not going to be walking in a straight line. I'm going to be walking at best in a zigzag line and possibly in circles. And so as I contemplated this quote, what I decided to do was look at myself honestly and say, what desires are there that might be here that are also obstacles because they're keeping me from walking in a straight line toward liberation? And I notice Kathy has a question. She says, what about someone like Mary who did not seem to have that desire present at all? And my answer to that question, maybe it will sound funny, maybe it will sound perfect. I don't know how it will sound. But I have quit comparing myself and my path to other people. If I had just awakened, then I guess I would have just awakened. That would be that. But that doesn't appear to be the path that I'm on. My path started with a desire to know truth, and seeking in different directions to even find which way to walk. And then beginning, to learn about the ego. I didn't even know about the ego, right? And then having the desire to clear myself of the ego, meaning the purification period. And then having the desire to surrender more and more to spiritual intuition instead of to thinking. And now having the desire to pay attention to awareness. This seems to be my path. And so, of course, it makes perfect sense to me because of the perfection of truth or the perfection of God or the perfection of desire, whatever you want to call it. It makes perfect sense to me that if my path is kind of this more gradual path, this kind of this step-by-step process, that my desire for the step that I am on is going to guide me to the teachings that are important for me. And of course, right now, as you see, I'm very much guided to teachings that are focused on, things like awareness, watching, awareness, meditation. Because that feels very right for me right now. But desire has been my path. It really has been. It was the desire to know what truth was that got me started. And then once I saw the ego and how much suffering the ego caused for me and Jasmine, then it was the desire to purify of that, of listening to that ego. You know, like I said, it's just always been desire. So I'm not gonna say, because I don't know for sure that everybody, it works this way for everybody. I also don't know for sure, by the way, and I need to say this. I think this is very important to say. I don't know for sure that Mary has ended the ego, that final end of the ego. We know that there are awakenings along the way to the final end of the ego. And it could be that this desire is needed to go beyond some of those awakenings, which are quite pleasant and dramatic shifts compared to the experience of before. But in order to go beyond even those awakenings to that final end of the ego, maybe that's when the desire is really, really needed. I do know that many people who are known as awake nowadays, if you really question them about the final end of the ego, they will admit that the ego has not ended. It doesn't distract them anymore. You know, they're able to ignore it more easily. They're more aware of awareness now, but they will admit that they have not come to the point where the ego has ended. And so maybe, you know, this teaching, even for those who are, quote, awake, but haven't ended the ego, maybe this teaching of this intense desire is actually still important for them. You know, maybe you can rest on your laurels, even as an awake person who hasn't ended the ego, and you won't move on to that next stage until you really, really want it. Of course, these are all maybes, but what I recommend for each person, and I recommend this with all of my heart, is just to look at yourself honestly and find out what you need, what's helpful to you, and kind of forget about everybody else. You know, I think it's good to listen to one another. We can learn different things. We can reinforce different things that we need reinforced. But when it comes right down to it, we each need to walk our path following our intuition and what feels right for us. And to me, desire is very important, because just like this quote is saying, if I don't have the desire to end the ego, you know, there's plenty other things that I will do with my time. I've got lots of other options. So now I only have about 4 minutes left. So let me just kind of summarize this quote really quickly. As I went through looking at myself to see if there were other desires that were not as pure and mixed with the desire to make clear, another the desire to feel safe, another the desire to be perceived by others in a certain way. Then I found something that was still there, which is, you know, not as descriptive, actually. I just call it the desire to be distracted. I found, at this time especially, in June of 2015, that I was finding other ways to spend my time than in specifically awareness, watching awareness practice. And I don't remember that time really clearly. I might have been watching more TV then. I really don't remember. But I felt that there was a desire just to be distracted from what I knew was in my best interest. And I saw this very clearly as I contemplated this. And so that's why this journal entry ends with, ah, maybe that is a desire I should really look at now. What value could that desire have? What lie does it whisper in my ear? So I was beginning to look at that desire I had just to be distracted, just to use my time in ways that weren't as purposeful. And again, I don't clearly remember this time, so I can't speak specifically, but I kind of generally remember that there was a thought in my mind that I needed to relax, like the spiritual focus was intense or hard or work, right? And because the spiritual focus was intense or hard or work, I needed to take breaks. I needed to rest. And so, you know, around a certain time each day, probably around 4 each day, I would kind of relax my focus on spiritual practice and then distract myself, like I said, probably by watching TV and doing other things. And so the real problem was the idea that spiritual practice was work. Because I had the idea that spiritual practice was work, then I felt like I needed to take breaks. And what's happened since then, and you may have heard me talk about it, is that I have, you know, shifted the way I look at spiritual practice, and it feels like a genuine shift, that spiritual practice is my love. In fact, at the retreat, this last retreat that I was at last weekend, Weekend of Freedom, one of the questions they asked me is, what is your spiritual practice? And I said, well, we can call it practice if we want to, but for me, it's my love. And of course, I don't have to take a break from my love. I don't have to be distracted from my love. And with that, I am going to let go of the mic, and I'll be joining you all to listen to Jacqueline and Mary. Bye.